Check this out.
Morning, everyone.
What day is it?
Don't make me say it.
Don't make me say it.
Don't make me say it.
And there came a great voice.
Thank God it's Friday!
Friday, Friday, Friday.
You know what I love? Chit-chat.
Chit-chat.
Yeah, chit-chat.
Let's chit-chat.
This show is all chit and no chat.
Chitty, chitty, chat.
Enough chit-chat.
We can't stand around and chit-chat all day long.
It's showtime.
Boston's greatest hits. 105.7 WROR. Here's Lauren and Wally.
Well, good morning and welcome. It is Friday morning. And, what steps have you got out there this morning?
32.
Okay. It's going to get up in the, you know, mid to upper 30s for the high day. Decent day. Have some sunshine. And today is Pearl Harbor Day. This date, December the 7th, 1941, the Japanese invasion of Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, resulted in the United States entering into World War II. And it is the day that changed the rest of George H.W. Bush's life. Because that's the day he decided, well, I got to do my part. He decided to join the Army Air Corps and become a pilot in the war. Thought I'd mention
I
that.
A lot of people did that, right?
Yep, they sure did.
Yep. They all signed up.
Okay, so we got the stuff we got coming up today. Amazing, amazing things on the program today. Of course, we do have the Win a Grand in 60 Seconds coming up in just about 12 minutes here this morning. What is the, if you're going to go out to dinner this weekend, what is the filthiest thing in the restaurant?
The guy you're with. Okay. But you'll find out probably.
That's one of them.
It has been identified, the filthiest thing in the restaurant. Wow. So, and we'll explain why it's the filthiest thing in the restaurant.
Does it depend on which restaurant you go to?
No, they're pretty much all the same.
Yeah. Does it matter if you go to a restaurant or a restaurant?
Restaurant, yes. Right.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I thought
the same. Can I ask? Am I the only one that says restaurant?
No.
No, but you're the only one in this room who says
okay. My family gets so annoyed with me that I say restaurant. Well, instead of restaurant.
Restaurant.
You just tell your wife to go get your pocketbook. We're going to the restaurant for dinner.
She can pick wherever she wants.
Okay, sleep texting. It's a thing. We'll
really?
Explain that coming up this morning. This is really big. Why it's extremely important that you get a divorce by the end of December. So
perfect.
Hear that for you this morning. Now we have the Dirty Laundry Report. What are you covering at Dirty Laundry?
We've got to talk about Kevin Hart stepping down from the Oscars.
Yeah, that was bingo. That didn't take long, did it?
Yeah, big controversy. His, you know, apologize, not apologizing. It's a little crazy. So we'll cover all that.
Friday Morning Football with Zoe. Scott Zolak joins us at 8:40 this morning. And gets us all ready for that game against Miami down in Miami on Sunday afternoon. So,
and we got to talk about axes.
Lauren. This
is
amazing. We went out and threw axes yesterday.
It was so satisfying. It really was.
You didn't put an apple on his head, did you?
That would have been fun. Okay, all of this is coming up sporting right here on the Lauren and Wally Morning Show. Time now for your early men from Maine. So here we go.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Ephus and Effie are in the office of their dentist, Dr. Lido Kane. When we hear...
Now listen, Doc, I don't want any fancy stuff. No needles, no gas, no anesthesia. Just pull that tooth and get it over with.
Well, you know, I wish more of my patients were as brave as that. Now, which tooth is it?
Open your mouth and show him, Effie.
Join us again soon for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. Right here on the Lauren and Wally Morning Show.
Morning Wally. Mornings. 105.7 WROR.
Well, good morning and welcome to Comedy Time on the Lauren and Wally Morning Radio Program. We've got a great guy in the studio with us. Chad Daniels is his name. And Chad, this is his first visit to do his show in Boston. Good morning. How are you doing this morning, Chad?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me in.
Hey, glad you could make it here.
Absolutely.
So you're a Minnesota guy, huh?
I am, yeah.
And you still live in Minnesota?
Still live there. I think I'm stuck. There's no getting out, especially now because it's 8 degrees. So.
Oh, wow.
Wow. It really does
it.
Get cold.
Yeah.
You guys want to come?
No, that's okay.
You guys should come for Christmas.
Did you just come here to warm up?
Yeah, absolutely. Vacation, Boston.
Ever stick your tongue on a flagpole?
I never have.
No, okay. Just check on that. So, you know, you got kids and all that sort of thing.
I do. You have a 19-year-old son and a 14-year-old daughter.
How's that going?
It's going great.
Yeah.
I brought my 19-year-old to college 3 months ago, and he came back 2 months ago. I don't know if you know how semesters work, but they're not monthly. So he walked in my house, and I go, nope. And I just kept saying that. I was like, go back. And he said, I'm just here to get some stuff. And I go, all right, that's fine. So he asked me, he goes, before I leave, I have to tell you something. My roommate, we have a dishwasher. He never puts the dishes in there. He won't. Always leaves his clothes around, doesn't take the garbage out. He goes, what would you do if you had a roommate like that? And I said, well, I brought mine to college 3 months ago. And now he's back and he needs to leave.
Yeah. They grow up so quick.
Yeah.
And,
they sure do.
Oh, my God.
Did you notice now that, you know, he's 19 now? Did he grow up really quick?
He absolutely did. You know, they both did. My daughter's 14. And I didn't realize that 14-year-old girls had, like, so my 14-year-old daughter, her voice cracked when she was going through puberty. And I didn't know that happened to girls. We're in the kitchen, and she goes, hey, Dad, if we're going to make a strawberry and rhubarb pie, then why are you looking at me like that? And I thought, huh, that seems weird. I thought that only happened to boys.
Wow. That's got to be being, you know, you're a divorced dad and having a 14-year-old girl, like, dealing with 14-year-old girl things must be a lot of fun, huh?
Yeah, she got her period at my house.
Oh.
Her first one. And she came downstairs. She goes, Dad, a couple things. Number one, got my period. Number two, don't want to talk about it.
Really? Yeah, don't want to talk about it.
I said, number one, great. Number two, greater.
So you know what happened in my house? She came down and said, Dad, the stick is blue. You know? But I do have a beautiful 14-month grandson.
That's
wow.
Hey, you're gonna love Chad's show. He's over at Laugh Boston. How many shows you got coming up tonight?
There's one tonight, and there's two tomorrow. But the first one sold out tomorrow, so 9:45, there's a couple tickets available.
Well, there you go. Nice. So what you're going to have to do is get tickets right away. You can log on to laughboston.com, and this is one of the few clubs where you can actually talk. You know, call and talk to somebody.
Oh.
And the number is 617-72-LAUGH. Chad, could you stick around for a few minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, we still have to talk about curling and hockey and
Fargo. Let's get into it.
Do we have Chad Daniels in the studio this morning? He's great, great stand-up comic. And he's playing over at Laugh Boston this weekend. He's got a couple shows tonight, tomorrow night. And the first show sold out. So if you want to get your tickets, you have to hurry up. LaughBoston.com for the second show. Chad is from Minnesota. He still lives there. He lives like 2.5 hours north of Minneapolis, which is like way, way up there. And so we were telling that yesterday we went out and we went to the new axe throwing bar. It's called Urban Axes.
I didn't know it was a bar.
Yeah,
you're not allowed to drink and throw axes where I live.
Oh,
really? Oh, okay.
You can drink and throw axes?
Yeah.
But That's a horrible idea.
We're going axe throwing, and it's like, axe throwing, yeah, sure. Like it's a normal thing in Minnesota, right?
Well, it is a normal thing, but again, no booze.
Really?
So that's not in your drink. Your Canadian... No. What did you do?
You go and you throw axe. Oh, the Canadian bowling, triathlon. We did bowling and darts and curling.
Okay.
And basically,
darts are a little bit tricky. But
I mean, you have a beer in your hand the whole day.
So wait, but you do curling last?
We did curling. Is that the order? We did do curling last, yeah.
Because, man, after a day of drinking, getting down into that curling position can be difficult.
You saw a lot of guys on their sides sliding down the ice, losing their footing, just like, oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, do they have, like, you know, high school curling teams up there? Is that normal?
They have leagues, that you can join. But you have the rock or the stone in one hand, and then you can use like a little PVC piping brace in the other hand. But you know guys are like, I don't need that thing. Next thing you know, 43 stitches on their temple.
Oh. Well, you could just use a beer to counterbalance the stone, I suppose.
That's right.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
So we'll have to take him, axe throwing at a bar. Since you've never done axe throwing at a bar before.
Wow, that's incredible. Just get a buzz on and chuck axes.
Yeah.
They're hard to catch.
See your face.
It's so
much
fun.
You look like a 7-year-old on Christmas. You're like, eyes wide open.
It was awesome.
It's really cool. You got to do it.
It was the greatest thing ever.
Definitely. Yeah. So, and,
I know you've been doing comedy for 20 years.
That's true.
You're still up there in Minnesota. I mean, have you thought about it?
You
got your two kids. Have you taken them around to show them life outside of Minnesota?
Yeah, I have. I brought my daughter on a trip last year down south. We did a, 7 seven cities and seven nights. We went on the, it's pretty fantastic. Went on the Civil Rights Trail and did all that stuff.
That's cool.
I figured if I was going to take her out of school, it had to be for something cool. Because I did have one teacher had a problem. She goes, well, what is she going to learn when she's with you? And I said, way more than she is from you. Just stop pretending you reading out of a book is interesting. Please. And I'm all for teachers, but just like, let me take my daughter out of school.
Right.
I'm actually going to take my son to Maui because I was just there for Thanksgiving.
Oh, nice.
I saw this 10-year-old boy was holding hands with this little 10-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And he said, what's your favorite color? She said, purple. And he goes, that's all going to change when you see how blue the water is. Wow. And I thought, I at one time was married and I've never said anything that cool. Not ever.
Amazing.
Wow. I put my burger down and just like looked up into the sky and enjoyed what this little kid had just done.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's more game than I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Well, listen, we want to thank you very much for coming in. Everybody, we urge you to see his show. It's very family friendly, is it not?
It's about my family.
It's all about your family.
Yeah. It's a lot of it is about
my
family.
How do they feel about that?
So they don't think it's friendly.
After all.
No, you know what? It's just fine. You can come out and have fun. There's going to be something for you.
Chad Daniels, you got a chance. Just log on to laughboston.com. Or, as we mentioned, you can call and talk to somebody. 617-725-2844. And it's at
just mash the buttons on the phone and
bang,
hopefully
bang,
it'll
bang,
connect.
And throw an axe at it.
Yep.
Okay. So anyway, and it's at the Laugh Boston, which is over the Seaport District. It's a great place to see show. Thank you very much for being here this
morning. Thanks for having me, and I really appreciate it.
First trip to Boston. I hope you have a terrific time here, okay? Yesterday, we threw axes. Oh, yeah, I know what you're thinking. You threw axes? Yeah. We learned about this new place. It's in Somerville. It's a 2 Union Square in Somerville, and it's called Urban Axes. And it's a combination bar and axe throwing place.
It was like right out of the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
It really was.
Yep.
It was amazing.
And throwing axes is like, it's like throwing darts with much larger weapons.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. And you have, it takes a skill set. You also have to be taught how to do it correctly. Otherwise, I don't know what could go wrong. It was pretty amazing.
It's nothing like, you know.
Tina! Bring me the axe!
No, it's not quite like that.
And I wasn't cutting down any rose trees.
You didn't need to wear a helmet either, did you?
No, I didn't because it's really the most satisfying thing that I was afraid of initially. So what happens is you walk into Urban Axes and you go to like... Sign your life away. And then you go into like this kind of like, I don't know, how would you describe it? Like a...
The axe arena.
Yeah, the axe arena. Perfect. And they're like these sort of like, kind of like short...
It's set up like darts.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a rifle range, a shooting range?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's kind of set up like darts. You have the target, and it's kind of sectioned off, and only the axe thrower steps in.
Yeah, behind it is like a bar where you can watch.
Yeah.
Your beer. And then you have a person who teaches you how to throw the axe. And it takes skill because you just think you just throw it and it's fine.
No, there's form to it
and
everything.
There's form and you get it. And it's a little. So for me, I was like, yeah, this will be fine. I'll do this. The guy hands me the axe, tells me to hold it over my head like in The Shining and throw it at a target. It goes against everything I was taught as a child.
Yeah, I'm right.
Yes, exactly.
You know, because we've all seen the movies, how they throw the tomahawks and stuff like that. Nothing like that.
However, once I hit that bullseye and it just went...
You want to hear it?
Okay, well, you want to hear it? Okay.
This is LBF hitting
LBF.
The target.
Here we go. Nailed it.
It was so satisfying. It really helps if you are enraged by something.
Well, when I saw her hit the target like that, I thought she's had practice someplace.
No, I haven't. I've never thrown anything like that. It is really fun, really satisfying, and just kind of a neat thing to do.
Yeah, like we met with Krista, who's a co-owner, and she was telling us all about it. And they'll get their liquor license, I think, at the end of the month, but they open today. And basically, because everyone's like, really, you can drink beer at an axe-throwing place?
Yeah, really,
but they have, like, you have, like, a coach with you, and they make sure everybody's still doing okay. Yeah. And it's not like you're going to go there to get hammered.
No.
It's like, you know, you go, and there's also a bar, and it's so much fun, and they do... like outings and you know for a group, like, it's not that bad.
You can have your own axe team.
Yeah,
you can. There's a league. You can do
like
corporate. They have a ton of corporate events already booked. So I think that's probably not.
It's going to be pretty cool.
Was anybody worried about, like, not releasing the axe in time? And
yeah, I was. Because you know what? I've thrown, you know, balls, footballs and baseballs, and, you know, put it behind my head and then just dropped it and it went behind me. I was very concerned about that.
Yeah.
But I didn't do it.
But there's, you know, heck, there's, when you got an axe in your hand, there's added incentive to release it properly.
To let it go.
And
yeah.
There's also a little bit of a heightened sense of, I got to really be careful of what I'm doing because I have an axe over my head.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yes.
Was Dave nervous when you get home and told him about it?
He was nervous when he saw how I hit it so hard. But you know what? That's a good thing.
It was pretty cool. I've never, you know.
I watched the video Facebook Live.
It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. You nailed it on the first try.
It was amazing.
I had incentive.
And in heels.
And in heels.
Yep. Let's see what Lemon Eve is up to this morning. Here we go.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Lem and Ephus are at $3 Dewey's. It's getting very late, and they've had way too much to drink when Ephus throws up all over himself.
Oh, my God. Effie's going to kill me when I get home and she sees this.
No problem, Ephus. What you do is stick a $10 bill in your shirt pocket and tell Effie a drunk stranger threw up on you and gave you $10 to get your clothes clean.
Well, hey, that's perfect. I'd say that calls for some more beer.
Much, much later, Ephus finally stumbles into the house. But Effie's waiting up for him and we hear...
Why, Ephus, just look at you. You're a drunken mess, and you even threw up all over yourself.
Well, no, no, Effie, it's not what you think. A drunk stranger threw up on me, but he gave me $10 to clean my clothes.
Let me see. Wait a minute. There's $20 here.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. The drunk stranger pooped in my pants, too.
Again, for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. Right here on the Lorna Wally Morning Show.
Pete is throwing another hissy fit. And this time it's just, this is one of the more ridiculous things.
Well, I'm going to stick up for PETA for 1 second because it's their job to spread the word of animal love and all that stuff and make sure that people...
You know.
Not that animal love. Not like in Maine.
That's a whole different organization.
But at the same time, when you try and do that, I think you want to try to maintain the respect of the general public. Don't you think?
Yes. Words matter, though, Lauren. Words matter.
Instead of the general public saying, hey, you guys are crazy.
Well, they have a point. Some of the idioms or the little phrases we say, they're very, very violent against animals, and PETA wants us to stop. For example, like, you know, the expression, we can kill two birds with one stone. Instead of that,
they want you to say, feed two birds with one scone.
Seriously? Okay,
well,
give me another
rhymes.
One. Okay, here's another one they have.
The rhyme thing, that's good.
Exactly. You know, when you're like trying something new, you say, be the guinea pig.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want you to say, be the test tube.
I like that.
Really?
I don't mind that.
Really?
I
think it's offensive
stretch.
To test tube babies.
That's absolutely.
You know
how about
what?
This one?
Good point.
Right, thank you very much.
All right, I'm backtracking.
Okay. All right, good.
Okay.
All right, you know.
Get this one.
Constantly. The beat a dead horse.
Yep.
They want you to say, don't feed a fed horse.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay.
That
well,
was tougher
you know,
to say.
It is tougher to say.
Oh, and you know, I guess it makes sense.
Bring home the bacon.
Oh, what's wrong with that? Now they want you to say, bring home the bagels.
Really?
It's kind of like you when you want to swear and you say, sugar, honey, iced tea. Like, this is kind of the same thing. Remember when you do that?
Sugar, honey, iced tea.
Yeah.
Gee, what's that mean?
You mean just not as satisfying.
That's right.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know.
When my kids were little, they had a
like
great
son
thing.
Son of a nutcracker. Yeah.
My daughter, Abby, would be like, how can you eat bacon? Pigs are so cute. And my daughter, Charlotte, would say, yeah, they're delicious, too.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
The bane of the pig, man. Okay, but for example here.
No bacon.
No.
Ham.
No.
Pork chop.
Dad, those all come from the same animal.
Yeah, right, Dita. A wonderful, magical animal.
Everybody be nice to animals.
Oh, my God!
The Lauren and Wally Show.
What the f*** is that, bro?
105.7 WROR.
Okay, we got your dirty laundry coming up here. What are you covering today?
God, I went to bed last night. I woke up, and now Kevin Hart is out at the Oscars, and you won't believe why. Okay.
Get to it.
We have got some dirty stuff and dirty laundry. First, we're going to talk about the Golden Globes and also the Mass Conference for Women. We had a couple of celebrities in Boston yesterday and the day before. But, okay, the big story is Kevin Hart has stepped down as host of the Oscars. This is basically because someone dug up some homophobic comments he posted on Twitter 10 years ago. And Kevin responded by saying it was old news. And this is what he had to say on Twitter.
So I just got a call from the Academy, and that call basically said, Kevin, apologize for your tweets of old, or we're going to have to move on to find another host. Talking about the tweets from 2009, 2010. I chose to pass. I passed on the apology. The reason why I passed is because I've addressed this several times. This is not the first time this has come up. I've addressed it. I've spoken on it. I've said where the rights and wrongs were. I've said who I am now versus who I was then. I've done it. I've done it. I'm not going to continue to go back and tap into the days of old when I moved on and I'm in a completely different space in my life. The same energy that went into finding those old tweets could be the same energy put into finding the response to the questions that have been asked years after years after years. We feed in the internet trolls and we reward them. I'm not going to do it, man. I'm going to be me. I'm going to stay in my ground. Regardless, Academy, I'm thankful and appreciative of the opportunity. If it goes away, no harm, no foul.
So I have mixed feelings about this. And I'm
yeah, I do. I have totally mixed feelings.
I mean, on the one hand, you know, how, when you do something in the past, how many times do you have to apologize for it? You know, he's grown. He was 10 years ago. He was 30. But on the flip side, it is important to continue to apologize for bad behavior, especially if you're going to write it down and put it for everyone to see on the Twitter.
Is it based on the things you did in the past and how bad were the things you did in the past?
I just think if it hurts somebody, even if 10 years goes by and somebody asks you to apologize, I would be like, yeah, you know, I apologize then and I'll apologize again because it was wrong and I've grown from that. And there's no harm in saying you're sorry.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. And then and on the other hand, there are problem because you're always going to have your element of the, you know, the offended by everything guy.
No, but I don't think that, then this, of course, but you could take that person out of the scenario and just talk about the, you know,
yeah,
gay
but who
community.
Decides who that person is?
Well, the gay community is talking about it, and I think that that's the issue here.
Maybe, right. Okay.
So that's what he made homophobic comments on Twitter years ago.
And in his act.
And in his act.
And, yeah,
and
his
you
act.
Know what's funny? 10 years ago is cannot be funny now. People evolve, people change, and I understand that. But my issue, sort of thinking about it, is that, well, if the Academy asks you to apologize, just why not apologize? It's almost like he's a little bit petulant, like, uh-uh, I said I was sorry, and now I'm done saying I'm sorry. And that only hurts him. Because if he just said, yeah, I
hey,
was a
you know,
dummy.
I'm really, really sorry.
I'm sorry
Hank,
about
did
that.
You feel like he was, Hank felt like he was insincere.
Yeah, I mean, just say you're sorry.
Yeah,
very easy. 10 seconds. I'm sorry goes a long way in society right
yep,
now.
It really does.
You know what?
Yeah.
Say I'm sorry, move on, and say, hey, I'm excited to host.
Yeah,
it's a great opportunity.
It seems like it would have been a simple thing. He really did, like, kind of make a stand on it. And also, he deleted the tweets.
He deleted the tweets, and he actually ended up apologizing.
Well, there you go, yeah.
Apologizing to the
people. I don't even remember the kerfuffle in the first place. I don't ever remember him apologizing anyway.
Well, that's because you're not a member of the gay community. You know?
Yeah,
that,
well,
I mean,
you're probably right.
You know, I think that, and I'm not a member of the gay community, but I...
But you're sensitive.
No, I'm a human being, and I think that, like, if somebody offends a group of people, and it offends me... And offends people I love, and he should apologize for it. So I think that just being a human being, sometimes you're like, that group of people is offended. Say you're sorry. Move on.
Right. Move
no
on
big deal.
With life.
All right. Speaking of moving on, I'm so upset that I missed the women's conference, Massachusetts Conference for Women. It was yesterday and the day before. Oh my God, what a lineup! Amal Clooney was a keynote speaker.
Yep.
You know she's married to that guy.
Yeah, the guy.
Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love, and she's so fascinating. Allie Raisman was there, too. A bunch of other women. Apparently, it was an amazing conference. And, you know, a couple of celebrities in Boston, so that was neat. And finally, let's get to the Golden Globes. Now, I haven't seen this movie because no one has. Vice, actually, the Dick Cheney biopic. It actually got the it had the one of the most nominations. Also, Green Book... Which
that
is,
was
that's
really good.
It's a Farrelly Brothers movie, like
yes,
one
it
of the, yeah.
It's a
yeah.
Farrelly Brother.
It's not like
Farrelly,
a comedy.
It's no, it's not.
And it's completely different Farrelly kind of movie because it is not a comedy. It's about racism in the South in the 60s, and it's an amazing story.
Well, it sounds like a comedy.
Yeah, A Star Is Born and The Favorite. Yeah. So those were the one, the big ones. You know, the weird thing, some people were really upset that A Star is Born was not nominated in the musical category, and instead it was in the drama. But that carries more weight, the drama one, which always people want
it's a bigger deal.
To win the Oscar. You know, a couple of things. Mary Poppins Returns was nominated for Best Musical or Comedy with Emily Blunt and Lin-Manuel Miranda for Best Actor and Actress. I think that things are going to clean up on it's A Star is Born and Vice. I can't wait to see
gonna
Vice.
Be a-
you should see how they've all transformed into these people. It's amazing.
Hello. The Brian Bell Buster. Mornings on the 50s. The Lauren and Wally Show. 105.7 WROR.
I heard from Lisa, and she wants to get her husband, Dale. Now, she also told me that their son went out and got the Christmas tree for the family all on his own this year.
Oh, boy.
Very nice.
Big deal.
Yeah, so I'm going to call Dale as a park ranger and let him know that he might have stolen that tree out of a state forest.
Hello, this is Dale.
Hi, Dale. This is Ranger Eddie Johnson. Just calling because it's Christmas tree season. Didn't know if you had gotten your Christmas tree up yet.
This is, we just did get a Christmas tree. I'm sorry, who is it?
This is Ranger Eddie Johnson with the Forestry Bureau. We try to call people this time of year.
Okay, what can I help you with?
You do have your tree up?
Yeah, my son just got, we just put our tree up, yeah.
You have a Fraser fir?
What's a Fraser fir?
Oh, Fraser fir. They're a more common Christmas tree. They have a branches that are slightly turned upward, good form, good needle retention, dark blue, slightly greenish in color, pleasant scent. Does that sound like your tree?
It's definitely greenish in color. I mean, it looks like a Christmas tree to me, you know.
A lot of people are confused because, you know, a Fraser fir, a balsam fir, very similar. You know, I don't know if you knew this, but John Fraser is a Scottish botanist who found the Fraser fir in the Appalachian Mountains in the late 18th century, and that's why they're named a Fraser fir.
Hmm. That's really interesting. Now, well, what can I do for you, sir? I'm sorry, I'm trying to decorate with the family here, and we got some dinner about to come out.
Let me just cut to the chase here, Dale. We're actually trying to locate a Fraser fir about 5'10" tall.
5'10" tall. You're asking me if I have this Christmas tree, like a Fraser fir that is 5'10"?
Well, we have reason to believe that your Christmas tree might have been illegally obtained from the Harold Parker State Forest.
Ooh. No. But you think that...
You said your son went out and got this tree?
Yeah, my son. I mean, it was a big deal to him. He wanted to go get the tree. I think he just went and bought the tree, but I don't know. I mean,
you have a receipt for the tree? Do you have a receipt for the tree?
He did not hand me a receipt for the tree, no.
Did he tell you how much the tree cost?
No, he did not.
Did you give him money for the tree?
I did give him money for the tree. And now I definitely want to know where the
interesting
tree is.
Well, we're currently in transit to your house with some authorities, and we have possession of the stump that was left remaining in the forest. And we'll need to take that tree of yours out of there and try to match up the stump, count the rings, see if we have a match.
Really?
Yeah, you should probably just start taking the decorations down now so that when we get there, we can try to match up the tree, you know?
No, I mean, we just put them all up. We literally just spent like 2 hours unboxing all the stuff and take them out of the thing, unentangling the lights, and dressing the tree.
Oh, the lights are the worst, aren't they?
They are the worst.
Look, we can't undress this tree.
Well, we're going to need to pull it out of the stand and lay it down and try to match up the stump.
I mean, he's just a kid. He didn't mean to do anything. Wait, you have a stump with you?
Does he have a saw in his car or anything? Yes, we have a stump.
I don't know if he has a saw in his car or anything. He's a good boy. I mean,
this would definitely put you on the naughty list. Let me tell you that, Dale. It's a shame.
Well, I can guarantee I'll have a talking with him. I mean,
we need to match.
Fine or something?
Oh, no, we need to match this. And because it's a state forest, if that stump does match, we're going to have to turn this over to the feds. You know, state police, U.S. Forest Service, this is a big deal.
You're going to turn this over to the feds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look, why can't we just settle this over somewhere? I could just make a donation or, you know.
Are you trying to buy me off? Are you trying to buy me off, Dave? That's another offense right there. I'm a park ranger. I take my job very seriously.
I'm sure you do. It sounds like you'd be.
We don't get these hats just for, you know, no reason. I speak for the trees. It's a very serious business.
No, I thank you for your service. I'm not trying to make a donation to you. To the rain, we'll come plant a tree.
Pay your way out of this. Maybe you should talk to your wife, Lisa. Maybe that's what you should do, Dale.
How do you know she didn't go? She didn't cut the tree with him. How do you know Lisa's name?
Well, she called me. This is Brian Bell from the Lorna Wally Show. This is a Brian Bell Buster, Dale.
Merry Christmas. Oh man,
Lisa didn't want your birthday to go unnoticed in this holiday season.
Lisa's in trouble. Lisa's definitely. I'm thinking of about returning some of her presents right about now.
So happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for making my heart pound this quickly. So, yeah, appreciate that.
Thanks for listening to the Lauren and Wally Show, and have a great birthday and holiday season.
Yeah, you too.
Got someone you want us to call? Tell us who at the Lauren and Wally page of WROR.com. The Brian Bell Buster. Mornings on the 50s. 105.7 WROR. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
Okay, thrill seekers, it's game time on the Lauren and Wally Morning Radio program. It's time to play Win a Grand in 60 Seconds. We have a contestant on the line right now ready to play. His name is Rick Lucier. He's from Brockton, Massachusetts, and Rick drives one of those big chemical tanker trucks.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, Rick, how you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great, Lauren. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. So you're pulled over. You're not driving the big tanker truck right now, right?
No, I am parked on the side of the road.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Your tanker truck, is it filled with, like, very dangerous and highly corrosive chemicals?
More like highly flammable.
Oh,
highly flammable. Okay.
You're not a smoker, are you?
Okay. Okay, now you be careful this morning. And here's what's going to happen. LBF is going to ask you 10 questions within 60 seconds. Now, these are 10 questions that she has deviously concocted. Your job is to give us the correct answer on all of these. Now, you can say pass at any time. Don't say pass on too many, because if you have time left over at the end, you can come back and pick up the ones that you missed. Now, are you ready to play Win a Grand in 60 seconds this morning?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
LBF, are you ready?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's play Win a Grand in 60 seconds.
What is Scrooge's first name?
Ebenezer.
What is the Constitution State?
Connecticut.
Which Irish band released the album War?
Pass.
In football, where do the Falcons come from?
Atlanta. You what? Too.
What is the name of the cat in the Smurfs?
Felix.
What is the most common name for the disease rubella?
Pass.
How many pieces are found in a chess set?
28.
Which animal's tail hair is used to make violin bows?
I didn't hear that.
Which animal's tail hair is used to make violin bows?
Donkey. Horse. Excuse me.
What are trammels and seines?
Oh. Okay. Time has expired, but you did a pretty good job there.
Friday.
I am not
mean.
That was
a tough one.
No, it wasn't. He got 1, 2, 3, 4, and then he passed, and then it became, whatever.
Okay.
So anyway.
Let's bring him up to speed on the one
that he missed. The name of the cat in the Smurfs is Azrael. The most common name for the disease rubella is German measles. There are 32 pieces in a chess set. You got the horse right. Congratulations. Yep. Trammels and seines are fishing nets.
Yep, you know that if you came from Gloucester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And he came back on you, too. I'm going to give him you,
too. Yeah,
give him you, too.
We're
giving you, too, on that. Okay.
Good job.
Okay, we do have a fine consolation prize for you. This is the To Die For consolation prize.
You have no idea. You're so lucky. I can't even
really lucked out of this.
Take it.
You got yourself a pair of tickets to see Hugh Jackman performing songs from Broadway and film with a live orchestra. He's going to be live over at the Garden coming up June 27. Tickets are on sale today. They start selling these tickets at 10 o'clock, and they will sell out immediately.
They will. It's the hottest ticket in town.
But you have no problem, Rick. You got your tickets already. You're good to go. How's that sound?
So tell me that you want to go.
That's terrific, and I'm sure my wife would love to go.
See?
Listen,
I made your Christmas by
being
me.
You're going to be a hero, man.
If she doesn't want to go, LBF will go with you.
I'll go with you.
Hey, Rick, have yourself a great day. Be careful out there. Merry Christmas, and thanks for being a member of the nation.
Well, thank you. It's been fun.
Good for you.
Good job.
So,
good job.
You think you got what it takes? Can you win a grand in 60 seconds? We're going to find out. But first, you have to qualify. To qualify, you have to register. You log on to WROR.com. Well, good morning. It's time for the Style Report here on the Lorna Wally Morning Show. And I know when you think style, you think the Lorna Wally Morning Show.
Oh, my God. And first, I just want to discuss how Brian Bell showed me a picture from his past. Somebody tagged him on the Facebook.
Ugh.
And it was like from, what, were you early 20s?
Yeah, it was probably 20 years ago.
22, 24, something like that.
Like 98.
Yeah, so it was 98, and it's an old picture of him. And the
a little bit of a George Michael look to it.
Most surprising thing was he had the frosted tips.
Yep.
Now, this was really a dark time in America's history.
Yes.
Because it was all the guys were going to the hairdresser and getting these frosted tips. I called it the Ricky Martin. Remember that?
Yep.
Like,
yeah, okay. So, I can see that.
So that was a time we went through, and now we're past it, and we've learned from our mistakes. But the newest male hair trend right now is not doing that. It's going back to the 80s and bringing something back that is possibly the most brotastic, gross hair situation.
What is it?
It's called the Gordon Gecko. Remember Wall Street?
The greasy, slick back.
Yes, slick-backed hair.
Like Trump Jr.
Like one of the, Scott Kahn, Scott Disick, Andy Garcia, the Trump boys, a lot of people on Wall Street. I mean, apparently, this blog called it the Lamborghini of locks and has defined men for generations. And, like, all these Instagram photos, they have the slick, like, the barber guy in, the barber in New York this had posted a bunch of them, and it's all just slick back, straight across, not apart down the middle. So, I'm just telling you, you're gonna see this, ladies, and you're gonna laugh. But we got through it in the 90s with the frosted tips. We can get through it again.
This too shall pass.
Yes. But
you know, I noticed David Muir on the ABC News.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of that slick product in his hair.
See? Yeah. That's what it's like. And it's not, sometimes it's not as like severe as say like.
No, his isn't slick back. No. Like he still parts it, but it's. Yeah.
But it's slick. Getting
there.
I call him Blue Steel. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you, ladies, they're going to borrow your gel and they're going to borrow your hairspray.
I had that look going on.
You had that look going on.
You
did?
You
got a high school picture.
Where are the pictures of those?
I had that look going on. I had hair.
How much money you got?
Wow. Yeah.
I want to see these photos, gentlemen, and I use that term
really?
Loosely.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'll see if I can dig up one of those for you. Okay.
Great.
In the meantime, oh, and by the way, I read in GQ magazine. Yes, I know you think it's really strange that I had ever see, but
where'd you borrow that from?
It wasn't at the barber.
Here's what's coming. Here's that you're right. Wasn't at the barber. The bootcut pants jeans are coming back. And if that happens, you know that the big floppy bell bottoms can't be far behind.
You know what? Yeah. This is a bad idea, I just want to say, because bootcut jeans are very dangerous to wear because you catch your heel on them and then you can fall down the stairs.
Not if you wear a helmet.
Yeah. I watched Top Chef last night. Padma was wearing kind of
bell-bottomy,
high-waisted jeans. It's not a good look.
They're very dangerous.
They're on the horizon. They're coming back. This is Friday Morning Football with Zoe. With Scott Zolak and our special Friday football report. Hey, good morning, Zoe. How you doing today?
Oh, my God. I'm doing really well. Until, so you don't know how annoying it is listening to, like, a song like that. Like, you guys got the best signal in the building, so it sounds really good on the radio. When you got to listen to Joan Jett through a phone and repeatedly say, I think she likes rock and roll.
I think she does.
She likes rock. Hey, Zoe, we got a sponsor. The Zoe Report this morning is brought to you by MGM Springfield, where they say this is a first. So that's a big deal.
Nice.
All
right. There we go.
Hell yeah, man. I'm a man of the casino. You know?
Excellent.
Nice.
Excellent. Okay, let's get right into it. We got Miami this weekend. Now, here's what we would really like to know. Maybe you can help explain this. What is our problem with Miami? Because you left the patch. You were down Miami for a couple of years. Maybe you can explain. Why do we have so much trouble with Miami?
Is it just the clubs open so late?
I think it feels like you play in a club down there. I mean, they got dueling DJs in the end zone. Palm trees. The sights are something to be seen as you're walking around.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is you step off the plane. And I don't know, you guys ever go to Florida, second you step off the plane, like in Lauderdale, there's that certain, like, thick air that hits you.
Yep.
So even when you hit the tarmac, and you're going on a little jetway, everything smells like cocoa butter.
Yep.
Oh. You feel like you're on vacation. And so I think mentally, you check out and really don't think, okay, we're down here playing football.
Right.
Wow.
I know, I mean.
All I want to do is go to the beach.
Yeah.
Or go to the beach.
It's like the only place Tom Brady has a losing record. Is it nice that he remembered that Josh Gordon was on the team last week?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the perfect role for Josh, right?
Yeah.
A couple catches here and there instead of trying to force feed him 12, 13 balls a game. Yeah, they're starting to come around offensively, and I think it's having the tight end back.
Did you think last week that was a terrific defensive effort, though?
Yeah, I mean, this is a defense that's been sort of the same from year to year. You know, it's the same unit they had last year, but I think Brian Flores has done a nice job moving guys around, where Patricia, I think it's more of a let's line up and play type coach, where I think this defense has been gambling a little bit, trying to apply pressure, and I think it's helped them on the back end.
J.C. Jackson, the cornerback, where did he come from? He looked good.
Maryland Terrapins, baby.
Oh, yeah. Maryland.
Maryland. The old Turtles, they pulled one off here. Hey, by the way, I meant to tell you like a couple weeks ago, congratulations, you guys almost beat Ohio State. So, but we'll move on to
that. That was a good game.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Oh, my God. A kid's wide open on a two-point conversion.
I know. But you're over it now, right?
No, Lauren, you could have thrown that one.
Yeah, I doubt it. Seriously. Hey, I see. Hey, Brady and Gronk are both off the injury list. What do you think about Gronk?
I think they'll be back on it next Wednesday. That seems to be the pattern. Off one day on.
He still doesn't seem the same.
Yeah, I mean, I know, and I can't refute that. That's the way it looks, unless they're just saving him for Pittsburgh, and he's going to go vertical, and you know they're going to unleash him here at this final month. I think that's kind of what we're crossing our fingers and hoping is just based on the type of routes he's been running.
Yep,
nothing's downfield. Where it was at the end of last year. Remember, this same time last year when he popped in Pittsburgh and had that huge second half against the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's probably like having a really nice car. Sometimes you just want to, you know, ride it nice and easy around the block before you really let a rip, right?
Oh, shut up, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. So look,
before we get to getting to know Zoe, I know you hate to do this, but what do you think? What's the score going to be?
I think it's like 31-13. It's not a good Miami team.
Okay, 31-13. Okay,
yeah,
very good.
Yeah.
Okay, now are you ready? On getting to know Zoe today, this is a little different thing we're going to do today because we want to get to the soft side of Zoe, the romantic side of Zoe.
Yeah, yes, I reach deep into her heart. No.
There we go.
Jeez. All right. How did you propose to your wife?
I said, hey, baby, what's up? No. What I did is I had a ring. I had a ring box, and we used to have this American bulldog. It was like a 115-pound American bulldog, and I tied it around his neck. And he just came walking in the living room, so I had to wait. Like, he's so lazy, he was in the other room for about an hour. So you go in there, and it's like Yellow Dog from Funny Farm. You got to kick him and, like, get him moving. You know? So finally, he moseyed on in, and she goes, what the hell's that around his neck? I go, I don't know. Open it up. So that's kind of how it went.
Oh, did you get down on one knee?
No,
he's got bad knees.
Too much football.
Did she say yes initially, or did you have to convince her?
Oh, please, come on!
Wow, it was kind of romantic, but then I don't know.
Yeah, had a little bit of dog drool on it.
That's cute. She actually did tell me no the first two times I asked her out.
Get out of line.
She
turned you down, huh?
Yeah,
no, she. She'd heard about you, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, listen, you have yourself a great time down in Miami. What is this, the business trip straight down, straight back, right?
Yeah, business trip for me. I got two Tommy Bahama shirts and a pair of black slacks. I'm ready to go.
All right. Okay, man, we'll talk to you next week. Okay, have a good one, okay?
All right, see you guys.
Thanks,
you
bet. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.